On. There we go. Hello. Who's that? See, what in the world is he talking about? Why would we be uncomfortable about talking about prophecy? Well, the church has had an extraordinary energy that it has exhibited toward what God is about to do. Over the decades, and we're pushing 80 years of that in this age. And the church has done that over 8 decades almost. Hopefully I move forward here. And, good. The United Church of God is an organization among the Church of God's, Churches of God, which really is just the church, that sees as an organization that our job is to tell the world the most powerful, positive, amazing information that a human being could not only imagine, but ever know. It is impossible for a human being to actually come up with and imagine on their own, really, what God is doing for us, for humanity. And we are so interested in seeing to it that mankind knows what God is doing and what our part in it is, that at times in the past, we become overzealous and done things like saying, if you want to be alive, you know, we're alive in 75, that kind of thing. The idea that we have to escape to the church or we'll be in the tribulation, or we have to escape from the society or we will be killed because the Nazis will march down the street and they know our address and they'll come and get us. And I'm telling you things that many of us have actually heard in services. That's why I'm uncomfortable with talking about this. On the other hand, it's important to understand that as we look at what God's telling us to do, we have a choice. We can look at what God's doing in a positive note or in a negative one. That's our choice. When we pray for God, we say in the general outline, our Father in heaven, I mean, we're recognizing that he's not here, in that he's generally running everything from heaven, our Father, and that his very designation, his name, is actually separate from anything that we are involved in. And then we ask his kingdom to come. What are we really doing when most of mankind will die first in horrible wars, diseases, you know, killing each other? What are we doing when we're asking for God's kingdom to come? Stop that thinking and consider it's a positive thing to go through this transition. It's not God's fault, and it's not our fault, and it's mankind's fault. And Satan's fault, that what's about to happen before God comes and does the rest of what he's going to do with humanity is very negative. So, today we talk about the 7 significant events before the return of Jesus Christ. But we have a choice. We can do that negatively or positively. And we're going to start now and go until, I'm not going to set a date, we can't. We're going to start now, and we're going to go until the kingdom of God, biblically, is pictured as being here. So there are 7 significant events, and I hope your pencil's sharp, because stuff's going to happen here, all right? First of all, I want you to think about this. Luke 21:36, and we've read it, and we've understood it, and we grasp it. Or do we? Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Therefore, because of that verse, all of the work of developing character, all of the work of going through conversion, of being transformed, of changing from this life to a God way of thinking, is it necessary? Right? Because isn't that what it says? Watch therefore and pray always that you might be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. All you got to do is watch and pray. You don't have to develop character. You don't have to change. You don't have to obey God. Nothing. Just watch and pray. Now you say, well, that's silly. Why are we talking like that? How many people are still in the church? A tenth? A fifth? 1% of those ever baptized? You know, there are over 700,000 people baptized in the last 80 years. 700,000. That became the primary doctrine for some. Watch and pray always. Hey, I know that what's really happening is I have to understand the news, and I have to understand about conspiracies, and I have to understand what mankind is doing that's horrible, and then God will bring me into his kingdom. No, that's not what that says, because it isn't watching that makes us worthy. Forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ makes us counted worthy to stand before him. And that's why we pray always. So we can look at this whole concept favorably, positively, or we can choose to look at everything as negative. I know what the rest of the world doesn't. I know what most people on the planet never knew. I know what's going to happen before Christ comes back, so I am now going to be in the kingdom. Knowledge doesn't save. Facts do not save. Christ and him in a human being, and we'll get into that some other time, shows us how to go through the process of salvation. Now, there's something in that verse at the top that we need to cover that we've really not noticed much about. There are a couple of places, especially in the New Testament, that you may remember, where God showed his servants what it's like where he is. Remember Paul? He said, I know a man, I don't know whether in a dream or in reality, went to the third heaven, and here's what he saw. And then, of course, you see pictures of what it's like in heaven, in the throne room, in the book of Revelation, where John is shown what it's like. Without going there and taking the time to do that, you remember how there are 24 elders, and they're falling on their face before the throne. There are people of all kinds, angels, archangels, heavenly creatures, it says, worshiping God. What's wrong with this verse then? Because we know when we're in the presence of God, we would fall on our face, wouldn't we? It says we'll stand. You go to a courtroom in the Western world, and it's established on the Judeo or Judaic Christian ethic of law. And when the judge comes in, he enters the courtroom from his quarters. The bailiff calls out, "All fall down in front of him and kneel before the king." Now, what does he say? All rise. This is in our society in a way we don't recognize. We are with you. That's what that means. Great performance. Fabulous. We're applauding. It's greater than that. What are we going to do if we can't applaud enough? Stand up. It's in our actual cultural DNA. We're with him. We're with him. We actually approve. Not disapprove. Not argue. Don't want to discuss it. We're with him. How do we get that way? By looking at this society and comparing it with that one. Watching and praying always. So we can be counted worthy to stand. That's what that says. We have to see the world the way he sees it. Don't see it the way the world sees it. So now let's go do that. Positively recognizing This is coming to an end. This thing, this world, this society is coming to an end. It's going to go away. So, the seven significant things, what are they? Number one, the continual decline of the Western nations. The continuing decline of the Western nations. Now, biblical prophecy portrays the decline of the United States and the Western European nations. We know that's about to happen. It could happen in the next 2 or 3 years. It could happen in the next 20. This decline could be caused by, and this is an important sentence, a combination of war, financial collapse, or social breakdown, or all thereof, or parts thereof. Social breakdown primarily was what caused the Roman Empire to go away, but it was war that actually ended it. We'll get more into that financial stuff in a little bit. Okay, so first one here is the continual declining of Western nations. How bad is it out there? Well, it's not really all that bad where we are. I mean, you know, they're not shooting over our heads much. And, you know, there had hardly been any murders on my block. How about you? You know, there's always a threat of war, and there's people getting killed and starving to death and living in ignorance, but they're not in my neighborhood, right? Well, here's what God says about that. It's Hosea 4, 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against its inhabitants of the land by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn. Again, another subject that the land is corrupt. And everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Don't you people get along worse than you are? Don't you contend with each other? Don't rebuke one another. For your people are like those who contend with a priest, argue with a priest about doctrine. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. Pretty rough. I have a favorite watch. You know, we're talking about watching, right? So I have a favorite. This is actually, believe it or not, this is actually tied together. I have a favorite watch. It has a digital face and an analog face. It hands on it, and then it has little numbers that, I don't know what they mean. Anyway, it has two batteries. And when one of the batteries died, I went to the jeweler, the only one in town that I know, that can put those two batteries in there. Little inexpensive watch from Walmart, but, you know, nobody else knows how to do it. So I was there for a while, and we got to talk, and he changed the batteries. And it was yesterday afternoon. And I said, "See you next time." "Okay." And I left. Less than an hour later, a man walked into that jewelry store in Northtown in Rockford. Tried to rob it, and the man who changed the battery in my watch shot and killed that thing. That's what's going on. It touches us. It does too. We're in a world where you don't know who's armed, ready to kill you, or the person next to you, or how a stray bullet or other thing will end your life, those you love, and how this society has to be pushed away from us, so we're protected and in this, if you will, bubble of protection from God. When he says this to his nation, that's what he means. We're living in a world that's ending. But can we be negative about this or positive? Because this world needs to end. We need to end this. Let's get this over with. It's going to get really rough, though. Really bad. Let's talk about it. The continual decline of the Western nations. What are we going to watch for? Well, let's talk about it. What are we going to watch for? First of all, the continued moral and cultural decline of the United States and Western Europe. See, our obsession with things like celebrity. You mean you can be famous because you're famous. You can be president because you're famous. Examples on eroding leadership that and there's a moral depravity too. What are we looking for in leaders and in examples? We're just looking for people who are famous now and idols, if you will. There's another thing to watch for, and that is that the United States will become, and it's already starting, a secular, post-Christian nation in values and in beliefs. You can see it in media. You can see it in books. You can see it in literature. You can see it in art. Our society now worships money and immorality in a very real way, more than the Almighty God. And greed is what, in fact, actually led to the latest financial crisis. And all of us know this. Why in the world would a nation come apart because of immorality? Well, we just, you know, who would have said the United States will begin to come apart because we're selfish? Who wouldn't have thought that would have been what did it? Well, that started the decay. So, let's continue to look at this. Now, again, the continual declining of the Western nations. We need to watch for the breakup of the United Kingdom. Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland become semi-independent nations with different agendas than England. They already are post-Christian. So is France. They call themselves Christian, but they're way beyond that now. You can label it anything you want, liberal, intellectual. But the point is, they're post-Christian now. And we also want to watch for increasing cultural tensions in the United States as we become so divided and hardened in opposite views that virtually nothing can receive broad support. You know, in the last 2 weeks, questions about Ambassador Rice going on the Sunday morning talk shows and explaining that the Benghazi attack was just about a movie. Her being questioned has been labeled racism. So we have to be careful. You have to be careful what you even say about trying to get to truth. See, our politics are no longer founded on compromise, but on partisan narrow positions, and we're coming close to what they call a fiscal cliff. That could easily happen because we can't get together. Okay. What else can we watch for? What else is there to know about? Well, the rise of regional world powers. Now, why regional? Well, this is how it happens. It starts regionally. For instance, this new world order of globalization has resulted in the creation of new regional powers, even racial financial powers. You say, what? Racial financial? Well, yeah. The Chinese, the North Koreans, the Japanese working together against the Western power. Okay, you understand? All right. Such powers are based on regional trade and are formed for financial benefit and mutual protection. And, of course, you know, the Bible has spoken of this end time, New World Order, thousands of years ago. And we're starting to see it now. But now we've got to be careful because now we're getting negative. Oh, United States is going to go down. And I feel great about that because I know that. Well, I never felt great about that. I never felt great about all the people who are going to die in the tribulation. But it's a positive thing in that that's necessary first before the kingdom has to come. All right, let's keep going. The rise of regional world powers. In Daniel 11, in verse 11, and the king of the south shall be moved with rage, and go out and fight with him with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. This is a regional battle. It's not a worldwide battle. A united European power is the king of the north. We haven't got time to go into that, prove that now. The king of the south is a group of Islamic, Arab, and Persian nations that band together to protect their oil interests in Islamic culture. We'll get into that in a second. That we are dealing with, even though it is politically incorrect to say so, a religious war. The ideologies that are clearly at odds with each other, and it's over religion. Wouldn't we expect that? A spiritually based war. A spiritually based disagreement between nations. Now, let's go on in Daniel 11. In verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south will attack him And the king of the north will come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and many ships. And he shall enter the kingdom, shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And in military terms, that's rough. I mean, when they just enter in and they just run over them, it's like a blitzkrieg, if you will. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, and these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, the prominent people of Ammon. And he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. So Egypt is going to be, if you will, conquered. Regional world powers. We have to watch for this. Or should. Now, what might cause a war, a regional conflict between two regional powers? Well, let's take a look at a couple things that are happening right now. For one thing, EU's energy dependency is going to climb from 50% in 2000 to 70% by 2030. The particular situation for the main imported fossil fuels was described as follows. Number one, oil. That's the first thing that's going to bring the difficulties around. Second, 45% of the EU imports. Where am I here? Okay. 45% of the EU imports originated from the Middle East, 45% of them. And by 2030, 90% of all EU oil consumption will have to be covered by imports. Well, if 90% of your energy has to come from the Middle East, you're going to want to go just get it. You know, why keep paying these people? This comes from Geopolitics of EU Energy Supply. You can look it up. Okay, now, let's watch for some more things. Rise of regional world powers. Regional world powers. We want to watch for increased tension between the Muslim world and Christianity. There's an increasing tension that's going to result in eventual wars. There is no question it's happened before, and it's going to happen again. We went through, so far, too, ourselves. Now, here's a question. Will the Catholic Church allow Islam to dominate traditionally Catholic Europe? Because where the Catholic Church has been dominant and ruled, if you will, the civilized Western world, is Europe. And now Islam is attempting, rather successfully, to take it over. Here's another question. Will ancient nations like France and Belgium have civil unrest between native citizens and new immigrants as they begin to dominate those nations? 19% of the French population is foreign-born. And in France, it's now illegal to wear a burqa. The French nation said, enough of this. Another question, will the concept of democracy survive in the nations that become controlled by Muslim citizens? Because democracy and and Islam do not go together. Well, good question. Well, of course, if there is a majority of Islamic believers, Muslims, democracy will start to go away. Do we see any of that happening here? The rise of regional world powers. Ultra-conservative Islamists make gains in Egypt. This is an article from, let me see where it's from. From the news in Yahoo. Egypt's ultra-conservative Islamic party said it plans to push for a stricter religious code in Egypt after claiming surprisingly strong gains in initial round of voting for parliament. In other words, the Islamic Brotherhood wants to control the Middle East, and they've got Egypt now. We're seeing it happen. You know, if we had seen these kinds of things happen in the 50s, people would have been building houses in the woods in the church. We now understand that's not the right thing to do. Another thing to watch for, regional trading blocks in North America, in Europe, in Asia to become powerful political partners, leading to trade wars between the different regions of the world. And that we've already talked about. We don't want a trade war with China, unquote. Why even bring up the word, right? Also watch for the United States to lose influence in the world as power becomes more based on economy and currency than simply on military strength. What? All right. The U.S. is the only supreme superpower in history not interested in conquering the world. The United States Air Force teamed up with the Navy and made an estimate, which now they released, that it would take at least another 3 years for the Chinese to be able to just land what they call a J-15 fighter, which is really the same thing as our F-15, on a carrier. Now, you know, 2 weeks ago, they christened and, well, they didn't christen because they're not Christians, but they launched their first carrier, which looks amazingly like one of ours. They landed a J-15 last Wednesday on that carrier. Now, you say, well, so what? We have, what is it now, 8 carrier groups? It's either 8 or 9 carrier groups around the world. And they have this one carrier. Well, what we're looking at is that they, well, we'll get to that in a second, they own a substantial part of the United States. And our military power is now fading. And I had a long talk with a man who works with, this last week, works with, well, classified is the best way to put it, classified materials that are not patented. There's a reason for not patenting classified material. Want to guess why? When you create a patent, anyone in the world can see how to make the thing. You're just not allowed to make it here. So they don't patent classified things anymore because the Chinese take them and build F-15s and aircraft carriers. You know, aircraft carriers, those things airplanes land on? Who said that? We have those things that go under the water, submarines, Mr. Romney. You know what we're talking about. The arrogance is astounding when you are in power. That's the problem with power. But we can look at the fact that's all going to stop. That's all going to stop. And we have to go through the transition first. All right. Let's look at this, the rise of world powers, to take a look at the United States. The United States debt as a percent of gross domestic product. Now, what you might notice here is that this is called the war on terrorism here, right here. Look when it was, 2000 through 2010, almost. And the U.S. debt as a percent of gross product was very low. By 2050, it's 344% of where we are now. If we're here that long, if the United States exists that long as a world power. It's a logarithmic growth, kind of like, you know, global warming. Anyway, that is what's happening now. And it is exactly the opposite of what's happening with every other nation on Earth. This is where the United States is going. No one else is going like this. All right. Number 3. The rise of European nations into a regional superpower. Now, these nations are the last resurrection of the Roman Empire. I don't want to confuse us here, so we'll go through this, and you can ask me later if it causes you a little confusion, because there are a couple of things the church hasn't said, although we knew them. We just didn't say them. These nations are the last resurrection of the Roman Empire. Collectively, the nations are called the beast. You understand that? Collectively, the nations are called the beast. You say, well, isn't there a person who's called the beast? Wait. There's a beast power. Notice that word? Power follows the word beast. It's in the book of Revelation. Yes, there's a person too. After the decline of democracy in Europe, a strong Germanic influence will control the regional power. This is biblical, okay? The reality doesn't say German, but that we know who they are. So, biblically. So the general idea here is that there is a political power. You could say military, but it's a political power that's going to take over. Now, why do we need to know this stuff? Because we're looking at how this world doesn't know what it's doing compared to what God is doing, so we can be with Him, agree with Him, stand before Him. Okay? That's why we're learning this. The rise of the beast power in Europe is the first woe, or the fifth trumpet in the book of Revelation. It's the first of the three woes, and it's the fifth trumpet in the book of Revelation. Okay. Now, the rise of European nations into a regional superpower. Revelation 17, verse 12. The ten horns, which you saw, are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. They're kings without a kingdom. But they receive authority for 1 hour, just a short time, as kings with the beast. Have you ever noticed that before? They're kings, but they don't have a kingdom. The only authority they have to be a king is that he gives it to them. So these people, are they in charge of actual nations? It says no. But do they have authority? It says yes. Who gives them the authority? The beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So in other words, they're actually going to agree with him because he's giving them power. Makes sense? Okay, they are the ten nations that give their sovereignty over to the charismatic autocratic leader or dictator. But according to this translation, it doesn't look like they are all, or even any of them, actual kings. They may have major influence in a nation, okay? But what we need to be aware of is that's going to happen. There's going to be ten leaders who don't have a kingdom as yet. Okay. Next thing, the rise of ten European nations, regional superpower. Let's get this straight, because this is where it starts to fall apart, and we need to understand. What is this beast thing and this false prophet? And then, there, of course, there's the Antichrist. And did you know there's a second beast? Huh? And there's a beast power. Whoa. All right. Let's get into this. The beast power and leader. So there's a power. There's the nations that are the beast. Then there's a leader that is called the beast. That's short-lived. End time empire ruled by Satan. That's the ten toes in Daniel 2. The ten horns in Revelation 17. You notice we're not going there because we haven't got time for that. So he, this person, he, guided by Satan, Satan will give power to the human dictator of this empire. Satan gives power to the human dictator of this nation. Now think about it. What did we cover during the announcements? We said, resist Satan and he'll flee from you, or resist God and Satan will come to you. That's the converse. Well, that's what's happening here. This dictator is given great power by Satan because he's resisting God. Another way of saying he's resisting God is he's anti-God, or he's anti-Christ. Well, wait a minute. If he's the beast, how can he be the Antichrist? All right. Yikes. Well, here, let's keep going. Another beast will arise who is the false prophet. Another beast is the false prophet, or the Antichrist. But then the beast is the Antichrist. Actually, the Bible applies the word beast to the power of the nations that are against God, to the leader, the human leader, who is against God, and to the false prophet, too. Really? Yes. Antichrist as well. So now, Revelation 13, verse 3 through 7. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now, do you think humanity is going to worship Satan and know they're doing that? But that's what they'll be doing. They won't know they're doing it, but they will be doing that. They will be worshiping Satan who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast. So they'll be worshiping, they think, God, the God of this world, is who they're worshiping. And they're also worshiping this human being. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. In other words, blasphemy is anything against God's spirit, accusing God's people of sin, where God's mind is in them, creating the fruit of his spirit. And he's against that. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. He's given authority to go on for 3.5 years, 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So he's against even talking about God the Father. He's against talking about God's people, the tabernacle, and he's against even those in heaven. Does any of that make any sense? Until you realize he's saying, I am Christ, and I'm on earth. I came. He's saying he's Christ. This is before Christ's return. He's saying he's Christ. He's sitting in the seat. Sitting in the seat, as if he's the vicar of Christ. Who's the vicar of Christ? You ever hear that phrase? That's the Pope. The vicar of Christ, in place of Christ. All right. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, blasphemed his name, his tabernacle, those who dwell in heaven, and was granted to him, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So that's going to happen. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. This is an absolute power on earth. Okay. What else? How bad can it get? Revelation 13, verse 11 through 14. And then I saw another beast. So yeah, there's a second one. Wow, did you know that? I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. So he looked like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence. Now, what that means in Greek is on behalf of the beast. That's in Revelation 19, verse 20. So the reason he's called the second beast is he's like an extension of this head of all things on earth. So he's also called the beast because he's extending his authority. That's in Revelation 19:20. And causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. What did Christ do? Say, the Father sent me. I do nothing of my own. The words I speak are only from the Father. He's explaining the Father to us, causing us to know how to worship the Father. See, this is a counterfeit. This is a counterfeit God on earth and Christ. That's what this is. He's causing you to worship, causing mankind to worship the beast. It gets worse. Whose deadly wound, and worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So he was killed and then he was healed. And he resurrected. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on earth. By those signs which, this is a man now, by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword, but he lived. Let's make an image so that we can bow down to it. Not stand up with it, bow down to it. All right. See, the kingdom in God and the rulership in this world is very different. So now let's talk about this beast versus false prophet stuff. The false prophet is most often associated with the Antichrist. Everybody knows if you're a prophet, you are, you know, if you're not with Christ, you're Antichrist. Okay, fine. But it is the beast who will lead the armies of the earth to make war with Christ. That's in Revelation 19:19. Does that sound like that's against Christ? Of course it is. He's making war with Christ. Since both men will be enemies of Christ, both will demand to be worshipped, and both will persecute the saints, and they will be working together like a partnership. They are essentially a team. So they're both Antichrist. And frankly, it's possible for a human being to be Antichrist now. You can be against God now. So let's watch for this. The continued unification of the European Union in Western Europe into emerging 10 powerful nations with the world's largest economy that eventually dominates the U.S. And also that one or more of those leaders may not actually be the elected or appointed leader of that nation. That's possible. Watch for the decline of a democratic influence in European Union. That's going to happen. It's already starting. And a drift into autocratic leadership dominated by Germany. Because after all, remember what happened after or during the end of the Depression in Europe. Before the Second World War, Germany said, we'll fix all this. And they just started to take over nations. That's how they told that to their own people, too. This may be a reaction to Islamic immigration or financial or social collapse, but it's going to happen. That's prophecy. That's what we're watching for. All right, here. The EU has established a single market across the territory of all its members. A monetary union, the Eurozone, using a single currency, which comprises 17 member states now. In 2010, the EU generated an estimated 26% share of the global gross domestic product, more than a quarter of all things built, made, or served, making it the largest economy on earth. It is the largest exporter, the largest importer of goods and services, and the biggest trading partner to several large countries such as China and India, the United States. That's how it is, the European nations, the European Union. So we want to watch for the abdication of Britain and other nations from the European Union as they move away from democratic principles, and they're eventually going to have only 10 nations, may even be the same or many of the same ones that are in there now. And they'll form a final union, whether the people are legitimately in charge or not. There are presently 17, of course, member states. Also, we want to watch for the continued decline of Russia. It's going to find itself outside both Western and Europe and Asia. The autocratic culture of the czars and the Soviet premiers and the presidents deplete that greatness. They're just actually kind of twisting in the wind right now. About the only people who are really trying to be friends with them are Islamic nations, and they're not going to go along with that over time. Okay, we're going to move through this quickly, believe it or not. That was a big one. We had to get that somewhat straight. If you're confused, we'll talk later. Number four, the prominence of a powerful church over the European superpower. As the new European political power develops, an influential religious leader is going to arise to provide leadership and unity to the regional power. We are not going to see nations come together because of goodwill or even selfishness. We've got 6,000 years of them not doing that. So how do they get together? Well, the book of Revelation refers to this church that brings them together as the great whore and the leader of it as the false prophet. All right. Revelation 17:5-7. And on her forehead, a name. It was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. The angel said to me, why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. And obviously that's the church. We know that. That not this church. So what we want to do is watch for Pope Benedict to die within the next few years, and be replaced, because his approach to the nations of Europe is not severe enough, not intense enough to do what prophecy allows for. Be replaced, whether he dies or not, replaced by another non-Italian pope who's even more autocratic and exclusive in his theology. And for there to be a resurgent in Catholic dogma and increased number of visions and miracles intended to strengthen Catholics or Catholicism around the world. There has to be proof that God is with people who are leading a large religious movement. And that proof is going to have to be outside of the realm that human beings understand. So there will have to be miracles worked, and we saw, bringing down fire from heaven, raising the dead, and so forth. That is going to be given by Satan to these people. The preeminence of a powerful church over European superpower. So what we want to do is first, watch for the political leaders of the European Union to look to Catholicism as a cultural bond in this new union. That makes sense. Always thought that the Catholic nations will be bonded because of a religion instead of political union. The Catholic Church remained silent during the Second World War when German atrocities were committed against the Jews. The Vatican Council didn't even condemn communism. They bring nations together under Catholicism. You want to watch for increased tension between Catholicism and Islam. As the Catholic Church aggressively responds to Islamic influence in Western Europe, which is aggressive. That's quite a history, too, and quite a study as to how Islam is taking over Europe and doing it purposefully. Muslims consider Catholicism predatory and heathen because of their belief in the Trinity, which they say is a belief in many gods. Islam doesn't approve of any religion that says there are going to be or are more than one God. On the other hand, Catholics view the conversion of Muslim to be necessary to save them from eternal damnation. So, you know, accept Jesus Christ or I'll kill you is pretty much that. Or, you know, accept Muhammad or I'll bash your brains in. That was the Crusades, and we're just going to go through it again. Only a different result this time. All right. Number five, the creation of a powerful Asian regional power. The Bible reveals the creation of a great Asian regional power whose massive armies will attack Europe in the latter days. Its cultural influence is so deep that it will even rise again after the millennium. Let me go through these again so that you can understand. Number one was the continual decline. Number one was the continual decline of Western nations. Number one. Number two, the rise of world powers, regional powers. Number two is the rise of world regional powers. And then number three, the rise of 10 European nations into a regional superpower. The rise of 10 European nations, right? Number four, the prominence of a powerful church over the European superpower. The rise up of a powerful church over the European superpower. Number five is this one, creation of a powerful Asian regional power. All right? We've got three more to go. So there's this one, and then there's two more. So hold on. If I can get it to move here. Okay. Now, Revelation 14:16, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and a day and a month and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. We're speaking of, you know, this attack. This attack on the European armies by an Asian colossus is the sixth trumpet plague. Revelation 16:12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. So these are the kings from the east, not from the north, not from the south, another set of kings. Okay, another set of kings. All these different guys in charge of stuff. You're not going to tell us what to do. So you got a whole bunch of folks who are not going to be interested in being told what to do, and they're all going to settle who's going to tell who what to do and who's going to own everything. So there's this Asian regional power. You've got to watch for that. One, China to become a dominant financial and military power in Asia as its 1.3 billion people and its growing economy modernized. Chinese officials are not wringing their hands now over global warming. The reality is that we produce products here in the United States. I can't tell you what they are, but we produce products here in the United States which are toxic and cannot be sold here. They cannot be transported out or exported. For instance, there are coatings that go on fasteners and parts that are regularly used in factories here in the United States. So how do we do that? How do we build something that has toxic coatings on it? Send the products that are going to be coated to China. They'll do it. Then they send them back, and we put it all together with toxic coating on it, but as long as we didn't coat them, it's okay. That's how we're in league, if you will, with the kind of thing that the Chinese don't care. Just give us more money. Watch for Japan to have a declining secondary influence in Asia and the rest of the world. We know that China and Japan do not really get along. They're trying, but that's not going to last. As of May 2011, the largest single holder of U.S. government debt was China. With 26% of all foreign-held U.S. Treasury securities, China's holdings of government debt as a percentage of foreign-held government debt have decreased a bit over the last year, but they're up significantly since 2000, when China held just 6% of all foreign-held U.S. Treasury securities. 12 years ago, China held 6% of the securities, and that was unconscionable. Now it's 26%. I'm sure it's going to go down, though, right? Well, where do you suppose we get the money to do the stuff? Call out for Chinese. That's how. All right. Watch for an unstable peace between many Asian nations leading to warfare. They're going to fight. Problems between India, Pakistan, they're going to fight. Also, watch for political instability to increase as millions of people in India enter the middle class. Call for support on your computer. You're going to talk to Bombay. You're not going to talk to Cleveland. They're entering the middle class seeking greater political freedom and wealth, and they're getting it. A modernized China will intervene to stabilize Asia. Not Cleveland. They're going to stabilize their peoples, their races. As a magic major trading and military region of the world, they're going to separate themselves from the rest of the world and then come and attack it. Why not? That's been their history all along. Now, number 6. The Church of God completes the Great Commission. The complete gospel message of the kingdom of God must be preached in all the nations of the world. Stop a minute. The complete gospel message. So, is the gospel message that Jesus Christ will return to end the desecration of the earth, the murdering of mankind by himself, and ending of humanity and stopping that from happening? Setting up his kingdom over all nations and bringing peace to the planet. Is that the gospel? Or is that a tiny sliver of the gospel? Well, eternity's longer than that 3.5-year period. So I guess it's just a tiny piece. And we have, and so do many, focus on the transition from now through Christ standing on the Mount of Olives as the gospel of the kingdom. And oh yeah, there's another 1,000 years. What's 1,000 years out of eternity? The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of the family of God. It's the reason we're born. It's the reason we exist. It's the reason for Christ's sacrifice and living in humans. It's the reason there even is a humanity at all. It's why this is all happening. The transition from this world to the next, when Christ is in charge, is a necessary part. But that's not the gospel only. It's much bigger than that. So the complete gospel of the kingdom message, the kingdom of God, the family of God, where humans are not human anymore, must be preached to all the nations of the world. And then more happens. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness. So somebody has to tell them to all the nations. And then the end will come. And of course we see in Revelation 7, that's Matthew 24:14, and in Revelation 7, 9 through 10, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number. So there's so many of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with robes, white ones, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. So a lot of folks are going to be there. That's the positive element of what we're talking about. And that's, you know, how we have to go through what we're about to go through. If some of us in this time have to live through it, we have to look forward. It's the only way to make it. Revelation 10, verse 11 through Revelation 11, 13. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. And I was given a measuring stick, like a rod. And I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar. So what's most important to God is how big the house is. Now, what do you think that means? We're being measured. We're being judged. The temple is being judged. It's being measured. We're going through that process. And when the kingdom starts on earth, he's saying, look, we've got to measure it. We want to see where everybody belongs and count the people who are worshiping there. But don't measure the yard outside the temple. No sense even bothering to try them. They haven't been called. They haven't been chosen. Leave it alone because it's been given to those who are not God's people. And they will trample on the holy city for 42 months. Wonder how long is that? 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses to prophesy for 1,260 days. So how long is that? 3.5 years. Of 360 days, by the way. Each year being 360 days, that's 3.5 years. And they will be dressed in rough cloth to show their sadness. All right. What are we going to watch for? Well, first of all, Church of God is going to preach the gospel until it is literally shut down. And we can watch for the church to expand its technology to preach the gospel in many languages and reach literally billions of people. Those technologies are almost finished. There are a couple of things that have to be done about Africa before everyone there can hear the gospel, but it's those technologies are actually not on the table. They're being produced right now. Gospel isn't simply a limited warning message, by the way, to the U.S. It's a message of hope for all the world and all languages and everybody, everywhere, every creature. Now, we also want to watch for God to use two uniquely called individuals to receive international media attention and to powerfully preach the complete gospel and warning message to the entire world. And they don't need to tell you, they're the witnesses. So somebody's telling you they're a witness, one of the two great witnesses, red flag. It'll be real clear who they are. Don't need to tell you about it. And also watch for God to use the technologies mankind has developed or have been given to him to instantly reach billions of people in all languages with the gospel message. And if you think that's the internet, or if you think it's satellites, or if you think it's mental telepathy, we should talk later. The bottom line is there are more things coming and more easily acceptable ways of reaching people than we have right now, but they're coming quickly. If you watch a movie or a television show from 2005, you won't see a smartphone. There weren't any. If you see a movie or a television show from 1995, you'll see people talking on payphones, watching analog televisions. No one knew about what was happening now. They couldn't. They couldn't foresee what would happen in 10 years, in 15 years. So what can happen in the next few years? Well, there are ways to know. But those are coming, and we can talk about that, but that is now. And what will happen is that finally, as we go to number 7, the gospel will have been or be finished in the preaching of all to all the world, and the bride of Christ will be prepared for his return. The end-time Church of God prepares itself spiritually and mentally to serve with the living Christ upon his return to earth. This preparation time to become ready is necessary to prepare the saints to rule in the kingdom of God. You notice we didn't mention the place of safety, so I just said it now. There is a preparation time when God's people are brought to a place where they are prepared. For a time and times and half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. These are the people filled with God's Spirit who know the purpose of their lives is to serve others. The purpose of their lives is to serve others and to develop the fruit of God's Spirit within themselves. They know that. Someday we'll get a chance to talk about what the difference is between being called and being chosen. Is it possible for people to, quote, be in the church and not be chosen? You bet. And we need to know how that works. But, you know, I'm being called, and I know somebody's being called, and now they're baptized, and so they're chosen. Show me that. We need to get into this. We're not talking about our ideas of what the Bible says. We're talking about what God's telling us. This is a matter of life and death, not just for us individually, but for mankind. The bride of Christ prepared for his return. Revelation 19, 8 through 9. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness, or the righteous acts of the saints, which, by the way, are not their acts, but they come from Christ. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Made herself ready. What funny language. Biblical language. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So we're blessed if we're called, but we have to be chosen to be there. Seven significant events before the return of Jesus Christ. Finally, the kingdom of God arrives on earth. God takes over the governments of this world, and peace reigns, and that's the end. Well, no, it's not. That's just the end of the beginning. And I suppose we might want to talk after this is over, so let's do that while we're eating, okay? All right.